Genesis Christian Life Fellowship, a church committed to loving God, raising fruitful disciples, and advancing the kingdom. Enjoy this week's message.
Amen. Thank you. How is everyone this afternoon? Excellent. I see some smiles. That's very good. Okay, so have you got your notepads and your pens ready? Okay, it's really good to make notes. It helps us to retain a lot of the information that comes in. It's really listening to God and having that heart of expectation that he will speak to you in your life where you're at now. Amen? Amen. Amen. If I could just get a water, if that's okay. If I can just get a water. Wonderful. Okay, today we're talking about partnering with the Holy Spirit. Everyone say, partner with the Holy Spirit. Excellent. Now, there's this famous evangelist, his name is D.L. Moody, and he traveled many cities, especially in England, and he did these big crusades, almost like Billy Graham. He's a very well-known evangelist. And so he was going to one city, and an old pastor said, "Why do we need D.L. Moody? He's uneducated, he's inexperienced. Has he taken a monopoly over the Holy Spirit? Is he the only one with the Holy Spirit?" And then the younger pastor, wiser pastor, said to him, "No, he hasn't taken a monopoly over the Holy Spirit, but this Holy Spirit has taken a monopoly over him." And it's kind of, and that's what we're talking about today. It's being in a position where we've made ourselves available to God, that he will use us, that we'll be so available to him that we're engrossed in the Holy Spirit, that we're baptized with him, that we're immersed in him, that we can do wonders throughout the earth. So the key scripture for today is John 16 from verse 7. So if we can turn to John 16 from verse 7. And it reads, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." From verse 13, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." Amen. 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 So there's Jesus here talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it was essential that Jesus went away, was resurrected, died, was resurrected, and then the Holy Spirit came to live in each one of us. And so we're going to look at what the Holy Spirit will do in us and with us in partnering with him. Now, as we know, we're all on a journey. We're all born, we die, but in between those different milestones, we're going somewhere. And for each one of us, we want to look back and know that we've made progression. We want to be better than we were last year or yesterday or 5 years ago. And that's why we need to partner with the Holy Spirit. Because think about it, the Holy Spirit is omniscient. It means he knows everything. He's omnipotent. So he's everywhere and he knows everything. And so it's crucial for us to partner with him because he knows everything. He knows everything about us and he knows everything about the future. The Bible talks about God knowing us even before we were born, even before we were formed in the womb. Can you fathom that? That someone knew you even before you were formed in the womb. I've said this a few times, that I went to Ghana on a mission trip. I think about 5 or 7 years before I got married to my husband. And I had the impression and the witness when I was in Ghana that my husband was going to be Ghanaian. It's God knowing everything and him fantastically revealing things to us that we wouldn't have otherwise known, because he's been there. He's everywhere. He's in the future. He's in the present. He's in the past. He's everywhere. And that's why we should partner with the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians from chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." And it's that confirmation that God knows, the Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God. Remember what the Holy Spirit is here to do. He was sent to us to be witnesses. He was sent to us to fulfill a purpose and a plan on this earth. So in the mission that we have, because we're not here by accident, we're not here by spontaneous combustion or the Big Bang and what they teach in schools. We're here by design, by God's design. He's designed each one of us. So much so he knows the hairs on your head. He's artistically created you. Everything you are, he designed in his hand. He's the architect. So he knows all these things. He knows the plan he has for your life. And so it's for us to partner with the Holy Spirit, because the scripture says that God has revealed them through his Spirit. God will reveal things to us through his Spirit. So as we connect with the Holy Spirit, we'll start to see things and know things and see what God has intended for us while we're on earth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And it's really interesting. I think God, when he speaks to me, he uses impressions. I think he uses impressions with a lot of people, as well as dreams and visions. And it's just making ourselves attuned to what he's saying. Now, remember, the Holy Spirit is a person. We read the Bible and sometimes we see the Holy Spirit and he's associated with power. And he is. There is power in him because he's of God. But he's a person. And what are the characteristics of a person? A person has a mind, they have a will, they can choose to do things or not, and they have emotions. And the Holy Spirit is a person. So it's relating to the Holy Spirit in his personhood. It's speaking to him as someone who's been given to us, who knows everything. But he's going to lead us into all truth. He's going to tell us the truth about our purpose, the truth about our future, and even the truth about our present, what we should be doing now. And I'm always really aware of times and seasons, I think more now than ever, because you notice that there's a time that you can do something, and when that time passes, it's gone. So there's a time to do things when you're single, when you're young, and there's a time to do things when you're a parent, when you have a family. And there's a time for things, but the Holy Spirit will teach you uniquely what you should do in your timing. Now, when we talk about talking about the connecting with the Holy Spirit, it's what we would do with any other person. So if you were to make a phone call, or if you were to spend time with someone, you would set aside time to do that. Or maybe you can do it spontaneously. So you're with your friends, and you talk because you're in each other's presence. So for us, it's having the awareness that the Holy Spirit is with us. Because the Bible says he's with us always and he'll never leave us or forsake us. That means you being a believer, for as long as you accept God and serve God, the Holy Spirit is with you forever. So whatever circumstance, whatever challenge you go through, the Holy Spirit is there right with you. And it's partnering with him through those stages and through those circumstances. And I think it's that awareness. I think I've been very conscious that when you look at the Bible and you look at I would call it the spiritual warfare that Christians went through, there was a lot of persecutions, especially when the Roman Empire started persecuting Christians for their faith. So there was outwards, they had to deny their faith or they were killed. But it seems like, especially in the Western world, the persecution is very different. It's it's very subtle. Sometimes it's the dumbing down of Christianity as a whole. It's different sectors taking things out of the Bible, the good things out of the Bible, and then leaving God aside. So they take different principles and then they apply it. But I see that the real warfare is the warfare on our attention and on our mind. Because as long as the enemy stops you from being aware of God and being aware of the Holy Spirit, then you can't progress any more in him. You won't discover him. You won't unearth his greatness and the mysteries of him. All these different things, they're good in moderation. But if it's whether it's the TV, whether it's social media, whether it's the mobile phone, there's things that constantly bombard us. As well as the normal, there's your bills that need to be paid. You have to think about your work situation, your health. There's all these things that you have to think about. And the enemy wants to keep you away from being conscious of God. Because each one of us, as a believer, we have the Holy Spirit with us always. And he's communicating with us, constantly communicating with us. So when we pray to talk to him, but we pray to hear from him. And practically, sometimes it's you praying, you offering up a prayer, whether it's yourself, whether it's your family, whether it's the borough of Enfield, whether it's this church, and then spending some time to listen. You sit down and you listen. And sometimes he may not say it there, but he may say it just after. And remember, God speaks in so many, he's so fantastic. He can use whatever medium he wants. So the Holy Spirit can reveal things to you, even by preaching on a Sunday. Whatever you're receiving is the Holy Spirit inside of you, witnessing the word of God and witnessing the truth. And that's how you receive it. Or the Holy Spirit could use a TV program or another man or woman of God, or they could use a slogan on a billboard. But the Holy Spirit is constantly speaking, and it's for us to be attentive to what he's saying. I remember when I was living with my flatmate before I got married, and I was always taught to double lock the door. I was always taught you always lock the door twice, especially if you have two locks. And I felt one day I needed, because I noticed I was doing it, but my flatmate wasn't doing it. And I felt one day I should just tell her, please, can you make sure you double lock the door? But then I think there were a few reasons why I didn't. I didn't want to be confrontational. I just felt, okay, maybe it's just me. And then a few months later, we were burgled. And they took our laptops. That was about the only thing they took, but that was probably the most expensive thing in our house. And then I thought, oh my gosh, that was the Holy Spirit. He was warning me of something that was to come. And then I thought, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to stay attentive to what you're saying. And it was me learning that process of this is the way sometimes he'll speak to me. It will be this impression or this warning or something I should do and I should act on it. In Psalms 46 and verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. And it's us being quiet and being still before God and thinking about him having our lives in the palm of his hands, that God is for us, that he is looking out for us, and that we just have to be still and be in his presence and listen to what he's saying to us so that we can partner with him for the will and the purpose that God has placed us here. Because remember, we're not here by accident. Each one of us here, God has given us an assignment. He's designed us to fulfill. The way you look is not by accident. The skills that you have, the strengths that you have, the burdens you have. Some people have a burden for justice and people who are mistreated. Some people have a burden for the poor. Some people have a burden for single parent families. Some people just want to see more orphanages around the city. Whatever it is, no matter how small, God is using that. God has placed it there for a reason. And it's really interesting, even in those who are non-Christians, sometimes they know that they were called to do a certain thing, whether it was to play tennis or be a singer. And it was always in them. And sometimes, somehow, their parents have honed that in them to make them the best tennis player, to make them the best singer. And it's us, as we partner with the Holy Spirit, we'll hear him drawing us there. But remember, for us as Christians, he draws us there, but then we glorify the gospel. We glorify the good news, knowing that people have gone through different situations in their lives, different circumstances in their lives, and God wants us to bring hope and to bring love and to bring salvation. Amen.
Amen.
So, we're talking about partnering with the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about the warfare now is the attention and the busyness that happens so that we take our minds and our focuses off God. And it's having that gap where we can spend time with God. It can be walking down the street. It could be in a car. It doesn't always have to be in your room. But that's the best because it's you and the Holy Spirit alone with no distractions. Because all these things crowd out the Holy Spirit. Busyness, the stresses of life, it can crowd him out. But we want him to, when we say, Holy Spirit, have your way, we want him to let his agenda go before ours. For him to show us, this is what I want you to do, or this is the person I want you to speak to, or this is the way I want you to go in your future. We want to give him that room so that he can have his way, because we're sent to do something on earth, but he's also sent to be our teacher, to bring us into truth and to counsel us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Do you want to know the things that have been freely given to you by God? Then spend time with the Holy Spirit. As you spend time in God's word and you spend time with the Holy Spirit, he will show you the things that have been freely given, the things that you have yet to obtain from him. Because remember, it's a journey. Paul talks about it being a race to the end. So we're running this race. And a race isn't easy. It's hard work. You have to train. Paul talks about discipline in his body towards the finish line. But that we, the thank God we have the Holy Spirit in this journey. And he will help us to obtain all that God has for us. Now, the best thing is, as we spend time with the Holy Spirit, again, just like an athlete, you become better and better at picking up what God is saying to you. You become better and better at receiving the direction from him and then acting on it immediately. And you can imagine, God's done it a few times with me. He gives me this impression and then something may happen, or he gives me the impression and I'm like, okay. Because at times you're not sure if it's God. Sometimes you'll be playing in your mind, is this God? Is this me? Is this God? But act on it so that your muscle becomes stronger, then you know and can distinguish between the Holy Spirit and your own voice. Again, I was in the head office, I used to work for this company, and I was at the head office of a qualification, an examining body called CIPD. And I remember standing in their head office and thinking, there's something, it's almost like I felt there's something familiar about this place. There's a connection. And so now, as we speak, I'm doing a qualification under the CIPD. But I didn't know that I would be doing that qualification. But I remember standing in their head office in London and thinking, there's a connection here. I'm not sure why I'm here, but I feel that there's something about this place. And that's how the Holy Spirit can speak. So it's for us to develop a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, because he's also sensitive to us. He's a gentle and he's sensitive, and he doesn't force his will on anyone. And that's why you need to step out of your situation and the noise and the bustle and the problems and the challenges that sometimes bombard you, and listen to the Holy Spirit, who at times is bringing a solution to those very same circumstances. Because sometimes I'm in a situation and it's almost like it's turmoil. And then the Holy Spirit will come and he'll just bring peace. And I know it's the Holy Spirit, because I know I shouldn't be peaceful in that circumstance. It doesn't feel natural in the sense that you would naturally react in a peaceful situation. And it isn't natural, it's supernatural, because the Holy Spirit had brought peace to me when there should have been turmoil. And that's why we partner with the Holy Spirit, because he will soothe us and he will comfort us and he'll bring us peace as we wait on him and as we place ourselves before him. Also, your life is a direct reflection of who you listen to. Whoever you listen to will influence you. And there's so many messages that we get, whether it's from the news, whether it's from TV, whether it's from our friends. But we have to understand that listening to the Holy Spirit should be at the top of our agenda. That he should be one of the biggest influences in our lives as a believer. So we listen to him through the word, and we listen to him as we pray and we commune with him. And it's important to remember that we can listen to him, and at times he'll say something that doesn't make sense. We can't comprehend it. And remember, we serve a supernatural God. And because of the Holy Spirit and our regenerated state, we're also supernatural, but we live in a natural man. And remember, there's going to be this clash between the supernatural and the natural, because the natural only understands what it can see, what it can touch, what it can taste, what it can feel. That's the language of the natural man. But the supernatural man lives by faith, and it lives by God's word. So you can imagine, sometimes we read the Bible and we really need to get into the text and into the situation that Jesus would tell Peter to walk on the water. Naturally, if you were to, say God was to say it to you, you would probably be thinking, how can a person stand on water? And you probably think of all the situations where you've nearly gone under the water and then tried to get yourself back up, and all these different things will come back to you. But if God is saying, walk on the water, you have to almost just obey, because the natural man will fight it. He'll say, don't walk on the water, because if you walk on the water, you'll sink. Likewise, when Jesus was trying to feed the 5,000, and he said to his disciples, feed everyone by these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Maybe if I was a disciple at that time, I'd be like, okay, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and 5,000 people. It doesn't calculate. And it's kind of those messages that the Holy Spirit might tell us to do. And there's loads of examples where God has spoken and has said something that naturally doesn't make sense. But at the time that it made sense, it doesn't make sense, but when they did it, it brought the solution that they needed. It's almost like when God says, if someone's done something against you, you forgive them. Naturally, it doesn't make sense. Why would you forgive someone who's done something to you? But that's God's law. It's the way he does it upside down. You forgive someone, and then you'll be freed from any unforgiveness, any hate, any things that may happen. That's how God works. So remember, when he speaks, it doesn't always make sense. So as you listen to the Holy Spirit, as you commune with him, as you partner with him, sometimes it may not agree with your natural man, but just act on it. Walk in faith, because this is a faith walk. Amen. Partner with the Holy Spirit in ministry and in your calling. It's very easy to leave the Holy Spirit out in an area where we're very strong at. So you're really gifted at writing books, and you probably may not involve the Holy Spirit as much because it's natural to you. You don't need any help. But even in those circumstances, it's to involve the Holy Spirit. I've started to train some of the managers, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, have your way. Whether I'm imparting truth to them, something that will help them to do their jobs better, something that will give them hope about their jobs, about their employees, that God will still use me. Because we can use any situation. God can use any situation that we place ourselves in to glorify himself. So even at work, in the natural thing that I do, I'm like, God, Holy Spirit, have your way and use me and take control. Romans 8 and verse 27, it says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now it says, for he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. So the Spirit, remember we talked about him being a person. He's a person. He has a mind, he has a will, and he has emotions. And sometimes we think that sometimes when you go the faith route, it's not intelligent, or you're not using your mind in a sense. But actually, the Holy Spirit has a mind. And remember, God is all-knowing. He knows everything. So the most intelligent, logical thing for you to do is to go on the side of the Holy Spirit. That if you feel that he's telling you to do something, you do it, because he knows all things. He has a mind. He has an intellect. He's infinite in knowledge. He knows everything. So it's the most intelligent thing to do when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. The evangelist D.L. Moody said, I firmly believe that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are full of pride and conceit and ambition and the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. We must be emptied before we are filled. And remember, the goal as believers is to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. That continual filling will help us to do the work that God has called us to do. It will give us the strength and the empowerment in order to do what he's called us to do, because a lot of the time, it won't be easy. But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Now, there was a man, and he went to a restaurant with his work colleague, and he sat down, and he felt that he needed to speak to the waiter who was serving him. He needed to say something to the waiter. And he felt, this is the man who God had spoken to, he felt that, this is a bit weird, I don't want to say anything to the waiter because we're just in the middle of our meal, so let me wait until after we finished. So the man and his work colleague had finished their meal, and they were looking around for the waiter, and they couldn't see him. So they asked the manager where the waiter was. And the manager was a bit distraught. He was a bit distressed. He said, unfortunately, the waiter had, he killed himself in the bathroom only 5 minutes ago. And it's just a depiction of how the Holy Spirit can speak, and at times the urgency of what the Holy Spirit says to us so that we can act on it and fulfill the thing that God is telling us to do at that time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So in closing, I just want us to come before the Holy Spirit now, and I want us to make a fresh commitment to Him that we will pursue Him. Let's ask the Holy Spirit for a new infilling of Him, that He will fill us anew. If we can stand, I just want us to come before God. If you can speak to God in your own words and ask God to fill you afresh. I want you to tell God that you're sorry for the, especially the instances that you know where He said something to you at a specific point and you didn't obey. Where He's spoken to you and you didn't heed to His word at that time. I just want us to come before God, repent where we've not listened to Him, and ask that He will fill us afresh and make a commitment to act when you hear Him speak to you, that you will act. Whether you think it's yourself or not, that you will act. Let's pray. Father, we continue to thank You. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You're with us always and that You'll never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, we continue to commit ourselves into Your lives. We ask, Lord, that You'll help us. Forgive us for where You've spoken to us, where You've given us direction, where You've warned us, where You've guided us, and we haven't heeded to Your word. Father, we ask that You will cleanse us and wash us, and that You will give us a new infilling of Your Spirit, that each person, Lord God, will be filled to the overflowing, that we will be filled anew. Let there be a fresh fire and a fresh zeal upon Your people. Let there be clarity in hearing Your voice. Oh God, I continue to lift Your people before You. I pray for fresh direction, fresh guidance, oh God, in the calling that You've placed over their lives. I pray You'll continue, Holy Spirit, to bring revelation, to reveal the deep things of God to Your people as they pursue You, as they spend time with You and set time aside to hear from You. Holy Spirit, we ask that You'll have Your way today in the journey that You've placed us on, that You will open our eyes to that which You have in store for us. Continue to have Your way, Holy Spirit. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.
Remember to subscribe to our weekly podcast and also visit us at www.genesisclf.org.